air and thrown to the ground. She rolled to one side and tried to catch her breath, but the fearsome wind stole it away. The scorching blast, the result of drastic temperature differentials perhaps, simmered her clothing and stretched her skin. She squeezed her eyes tightly shut. Sunspot was trying to bake her alive. The hot wind growled against the walls and then faded away, and Lannery took a deep breath. She smelled sweat. Opening her eyes, trying to stand, she sensed the heavy rock swinging for her head, gathered all her force talents to deflect the injury, but she was far too late. A brief pain, and then darkness fell. Chapter 16. The Alchemy of Flesh.
A Jedi needs darkness and light, shadow and illumination, because without the two there can be no balance. Veer to Bogan, and Ashlaw feels too constraining, too pure. Edge toward Ashlaw, and Bogan becomes a monstrous myth. A Jedi without balance between both is no Jedi at all. He or she is simply lost.
Master Shalmar, A Life in Balance, 7537 TYA, Thoyor Arrival. The Bloodspite is a shadow with teeth. It trails long tendrils around her that, though thin and easy to break, constrain her. She plucks and kicks at them, and the smell and taste when they snap reminds her of the grassy plains at Bodhi Temple. Long summer afternoons, evenings of music and talk with her family. The thing's body darts in again and again, carried on feathery wings that make no noise at all as they beat at the dusky air. Lannery sends a clumsy force punch, and the spite reels. Its tendrils splash out and teeth clack at nothing. Its teeth are its hardest point. Wings, tendrils, body are all light and airy, giving it the feel of a fancy or memory more than a living thing. Its teeth give it form. The spite attacks again. Lannery feels warm fluid spatter across her neck, and she's not sure whether it's the spite's sap or her own blood. Her moment of panic abates. She is without weapons, but never without the Force. And while this being's strange nature might make it immune to any mental assault, Lannery has studied its stav kesh. She clenches her fist, gathers a force punch, and heaves it toward the spite. It is flung back with such speed and power that many of its fine limbs are torn off, drifting to the ground and catching the setting sun. The body drops and squirms for a moment before growing still. Lannery examines her wounds. The bleeding is not too bad. Having no wish to wait for more blood spites, she hurries toward the pyramid. And there is a power here. She is awed by the city and aware of its deep history, but what she starts to feel is something beyond or apart from that. It is nothing physical, no throbbing in the ground, no charge to the air. But still, she is flooded with a feeling of such coiled potential that her teeth grind, her heart thuds. It is the most delicious fear. Nothing will deter her. She follows Dale's trail, the only human prints visible on the wind-driven sand and dust. And when his trail disappears for a time, she continues anyway, instinct guiding her onward. She has entered something of a dream zone. This is Tython, but she no longer knows when. This is home, but she has never felt so far away. The power she feels below and around her is divorced from the Force, and though she asks that strong protective energy that is always within her, she finds no answers. "I'm being repulsed by this place," she thinks. Sadly, she is not surprised that Dale is drawn here. The ruins are so ancient that most of them are long buried by the effects of time, or worn down by wind and sand, rain and sun. But here and there among these small hills and shallow valleys are the tips of pyramids, the slouch of fallen walls, or the deep hollows of openings into the ground. These dark pits yawn, and seem to exhale the strange energy she feels. And it is into one of these pits that Dale's footprints lead. Before she can consider the folly of her actions, Lannery goes down. The small glow rod she always carries gives a gentle but consistent light, but in a way she wishes she could not see. The alienness of this place strikes at her. Everywhere else she has been on Tython has been created by and for those sentients who inhabit the planet now. Humans and Wookiee, Twi'lek and Cathar, many others. Their appearances might be different, but their basic physiologies are the same. The Cathars are relatively short, and the Wookiees usually taller than most, but there is a similarity to their features that makes the places they live and work comfortable for all. These ruins are different. Lannery drops several levels that she eventually realizes are huge steps, as though built for giants. A passageway she moves along is tall and wide. The very air she breathes, still and stale, old and loaded with the dust of ages, seems suited more to something else. She shivers as if watched, but knows that it is only the depth of history that observes. But she is not the first to come down here. Dale's footprints draw her onward, pressed into the dust. They are far apart and deep, as if he is running, and she wonders how he can find his way down here, and what light illuminates his path. That crushing energy seems to throb through the passageways, like a pulse through the veins of a giant sleeping creature. It is a discomforting image that Lannery cannot shake, yet she knows it is foolish. The old city is just that, an old city. Archaeologists have been here, historians. Some have been seen and left again, intrigued but not possessed. Others have spent their lives researching this place. A few have never been seen again, and there are stories of such depths. But she wonders whether any of them have ever felt this terrible, pulsing potential, and what they thought of it. Dale! She calls, Dale! Surprising herself. Dale! Her voice echoes from walls and ceiling, fading into the distance, yet seeming to persist far longer than she could have believed. Later, descending another giant staircase, she thinks she can still hear her brother's name traveling through the darkness. Or perhaps it is simply a memory. Deeper. She starts to wonder what walked these passageways millennia before, and tries not to. So little is